Good morning, ladies. So what is one quick tip that you have for businesses in today's unpredictable environment? Your turn.
I think one tip that companies need to consider if they have a PR program is that you can't put all your eggs in the earned media basket anymore. In this environment, earned media is great. It's tremendously valuable. But let's face it, with reporters leaving publications are having revenue issues. AI is writing stories right now. Media coverage is a lot harder to secure, and it takes a lot longer to secure. That said, it should be part of your strategy, but you've got to pivot. And by pivot, I mean focusing on other things, research, shared media channels, social media. So you've got to kind of be thinking about earned media, because if you put all your eggs in the earned media basket, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities.
Do you want to add anything to that, Karen?
I would just say that uncertainty is fertile ground for innovation. So I think, you know, sometimes when things are chaotic and unpredictable, we tend to stick to the basics, to what feels good, to what's comfortable, and we pull away from everything else. And I think now is the time to go nuts, push the envelope, do that thing that seems wildly inappropriate or wildly scary. And I know in business that can feel so wrong, and it can especially feel like that's not the right thing to do when things are going nuts. Like, I'm supposed to lean into crazy and be crazy? Absolutely. Now is the time to go nuts. And so practically that means, you know, if you were running like a nice little content marketing program, push the envelope hard, do something that you've never done before. Go ahead and try those new tactics, because in craziness, it's a good time to sort of break through the noise and to break through that anxiety that your market may have with something that's a little bit different.
I love how you explain that. And you perfectly, to sum it up, we're going to talk about how to move forward in chaos.
Yeah.
Right now, it feels like we're in chaos. I guess you could arguably say we are. We won't go into the details of what that means, but I'm sure we all agree that there's chaos right now. So let's talk about a common assumption. A common assumption is that when the budget gets tight or uncertain, especially around uncertainty, it's to slash marketing and PR. What do you ladies think about this?
I mean, I think right now people are afraid to talk. I mean, and people don't know what to say. There's a lot happening. I mean, I think other than talking about products, people don't really know what to say, especially in terms of thought leadership. But now is really the time where you need to be talking. And when you think about earned media, especially, you think about developing messages for your customers, partners, and investors. But one area that people aren't focusing right now is their employees. And you need to be listening to what your employees are saying and talking to them specifically, and especially in this environment. We recently did a study that showed that 75% of employees said that their mood had dropped given everything that's happening right now. And 35% said they weren't actively engaged. So people are not okay right now. And companies have an opportunity beyond kind of the traditional thought of what PR is to really lean into speaking to employees and developing messages that really resonate with them, so that companies know exactly what their brand's values are and they can feel comfortable in this environment.
So I love how you said companies don't know what to say. If an executive is sitting around and saying, what do we say? How do we handle this? Do you have a process you help work them through or help them to articulate what is a good message or what is a good approach?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually work from a checklist of things that help them to, it's like a decision grid of, you know, when to speak, what to speak on. And without going through that entire grid, it really boils down to, as a company, understanding who you are and what your North Star is. So for me, that means you have this foundation, you have your vision, you have your values, you have your mission, and it's not just pretty words that you put in your marketing materials. It's not just signs on the wall of your corporate offices. It's lived from the basement to the boardroom. And when you live it and your culture is really built upon something solid, no matter what's going on around you, you have the ability to turn to that and say, okay, this is who we are. And I think of companies such as REI, who is so confident in who they are. And that means we're not for everyone. Our values may not align with everyone, but this is who we are. This is what we're built on. So you have to have a very strong foundation. And this is when it takes courage to really be who you are. When we see things like PR fails in the news, it's always interesting to me that they label it as that, because often it's companies that sort of ride the waves. They ride the trends. They, you know, if it's popular, they're going to lean into it. If everybody else is talking about something, they're going to talk about it too. If everyone decides to take a position like, oh yeah, we're sustainable. Oh yeah, we're going to do this too. But if it's not built into who you are, your DNA, what happens is that when the trends change and you blow the other way, you're really going to make your audience really, really mad. And so I think that that's really key. Now more than ever, stand up and be who you are and let that guide you, because then you will know what to say to your employees, what to say to your external publics, because it's true and genuine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think another underutilized strategy that people need to think about is market research, because that can really be your compass. So a lot of the times we talk to companies and they don't know what to say. Well, have the data speak on your behalf. The data will tell you what to say. And it's, you're not playing guessing games then. The data is the data, and it speaks the truth. So a lot of the clients that we work with focus on quarterly pulses just to get a sense of what's happening in the market. And that can be great to guide marketing strategies, because it can tell you what your prospective customers or your customers are thinking, where are they having challenges, and how can you help? And then you can guide and develop your marketing strategies, you know, to map back to those data insights. The data can be a powerful thought leadership opportunity, because you can speak to what the data is showing and develop content around that data. So that provides a really rich opportunity to give you a lot of various points and themes. And there's a lot of interesting storylines that data tells, and that can kind of serve as content and messaging to help guide you forward as well in this type of environment.
So I just realized that we dove completely into this and we never did an introduction. So how about we take a minute? We'll pause. I'll let you each introduce yourselves and your roles and how, you know, the type of companies that you work with. And then we'll pick right back up to where we left off. How does that sound?
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Carolyn, you want to start?
Yeah, I can start. So I'm Carolyn Adams. I have been in PR for almost 30 years now, which is kind of crazy. Time sure flies. And I work with startups to large established brands, mainly focused on B2B, but I also work with a lot of B2C companies, but mainly in tech. My expertise is in the tech sector. And before PR, I have spent my career in marketing research. So I love digging into data. Data is my passion. It's my jam. And I work very closely with clients in helping tell data stories. So that's one area that I think provides a lot of opportunity right now and something that I'm personally very passionate about.
What is a recent win or success, and it can be personal or business, that you are excited about?
Well, I would say most recently, I worked with a client who had a very limited budget, and we decided that we would try to land one story. He was launching a very interesting alternative for milk that doesn't involve cows, which is kind of interesting. So I ended up working with a reporter from Forbes who wasn't a traditional reporter. She was an influencer. And we ended up getting a really amazing story. And that led to him getting funding, as well as additional stories in many different food and environmental trade publications. So we were both excited about that because he felt he got tremendous ROI for the investment. And it set his business up for success in terms of, you know, taking the business forward.
Awesome. How about you, Karen? Tell us a little bit about you and then also throw in a recent success. And again, it can be personal or business.
Sure. I'm Karen Swim. I'm an accredited public relations professional, and I've been doing this for about 2 decades. I started on the marketing side of the business in corporate healthcare and then made the transition over. So I love having worked in both disciplines and really have a respect for what each professional does and brings to the table. And it does help me to connect with other marketing professionals and executives having, you know, that robust knowledge of the business. In my public relations practice, like Carolyn, and we work together on all of our clients, I specialize in B2B technology and healthcare. Healthcare has always been my passion. And so it's always going to be a part of the work that I do and who I offer work to. And as Carolyn stated, we work with all companies, all types of companies of all sizes, love startups. They bring that energy and, you know, I love that they're flying the plane as they build it. But then we also love the rhythm that, you know, established companies bring to and helping them to stay fresh and grow and leaning into some of the things that they do. I think my most recent win was really on a personal level, navigating a lot of challenges in my personal life and learning in a whole new way to trust your partners and to have processes set up in place and to use automation as your friend. So to use AI to get things done faster, I went through a lot of challenges with like health issues in my family and, you know, just a lot of really heavy things. And it forced me to take a look at my processes to be more efficient because I didn't have a lot of time and I didn't have a lot of emotional or physical bandwidth. So that was a huge win for me of seeing it, you know, again, being in chaos and seeing the opportunity there to actually improve the way that I worked and to really learn to trust my partners to support me and to be there. So that was a huge win that's going to benefit me for the rest of my career.
So real quick, I am Melanie Asher. I am founder and fractional chief marketing officer with Omicle. I work with B2B companies. When your marketing feels like it is stuck and tangled, I help you get it unstuck and untangled to unleash your full potential. As far as a recent win for me, it's kind of both a personal and a professional. I recently secured the CEPA certification. So it is Certified Exit Planning. Professional certified exit planning advisor. Sorry, got that wrong. And so this will allow me to better frame and better position how I work with clients to ensure that anything I'm doing with them is always about building value within the company.
Mm-hmm.
So that is mine. Okay, now I want to go back to what you ladies were talking about a moment ago. So Karen, you mentioned words on the wall for mission and vision. That yeah. is such a thing for me. I have an entire article that I wrote that talks about just don't let your words be, you know, I really don't care if you've spent all of the time and money to come up with your mission, vision, and values. If nobody can articulate them, nobody can remember them, and nobody can tell you how they are applied into the company or with your customers, they're irrelevant.
Agree. That's a huge one for me. And also having checks and balances because you have to hold everyone accountable to it. And that's a step that's often missed is that you don't have an open environment where if something is not being followed, that people can check in and say, hey, is this really aligned? Or here's what I'm seeing that's out of sync without the fear of retribution. So you really have to be serious about it. Like this is who we are as a company and we're not backing down from that. And it should be the reason that people want to work with you. But then again, having those checks and balances to make sure that you are always in line with who you say you are.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. And I loved your point, Carolyn, about the market research. Due to the rise of AI, I've been hearing a lot of companies talk about how, oh, we don't need to do market research anymore. We'll just go to ChatGPT and get the answers there. So I would love to dive into that a little bit as far as the difference between just going to ChatGPT versus what is really market research and how can it help a brand?
Yeah. Well, I think there's this myth right now that in order to do market research, you need $50,000 to do it effectively. And that's just not true anymore. So there's a lot of options. And, you know, a lot of the clients that we work with, you know, they don't have hundreds of thousands of dollars of budget, which is the majority of clients nowadays. And people, you know, are concerned about keeping their budgets tight. But, you know, in terms of marketing research, there's just so many options. And there's partners out there that work specifically with marketing and PR firms and help you develop your tailored headline. You know, what is that headline that you want to get at? And then you reverse engineer a questionnaire that maps back to that headline. And, you know, it can be very effective because then you can utilize that information in order to, you know, promote it as branded research. You can use it for your blog, your own channels. You can use it for to share with customer insights. But what we learned through recent research is that, and this is getting really interesting here, this is what we're super excited about, is that because of AI, AI is changing search. So the companies that are putting out research are the ones that are showing up at the top of search engines when you're asking questions about specific industries. And specifically, we have a client that works in B2B e-commerce, puts out a ton of research. If you Google B2B e-commerce, their name will pop up because they have they've answered a lot of questions through their data on B2B commerce. So that's a huge competitive differentiator. Every company should be doing this now because this is the way the industry is moving. And if you're not doing it, you aren't going to be at the top of the search engines and your data will just continue to evolve and be picked up and you will be seen as a thought leader because of this data. So we're encouraging a lot of brands. You know, you don't have to be doing research every quarter necessarily. If you do, that's great. But even having a flagship research campaign that you do once a year and brand that can be a really powerful strategy.
Yeah.
You want to add to that, Karen?
I would say that the key difference between, you know, asking Perplexity or ChatGPT versus doing your own is control. So you're controlling the methodology, you're controlling the questions that you ask, you're controlling the audience. So you're really getting at something very specific that's important to you. So you use that paid research, branded research for something that is high priority for you and something that you're not only leveraging, but that you can use that data to drive decisions and you can use it to drive media. So that's a big difference. There's nothing wrong with, you know, if you're writing articles and you're looking for statistics, but when you're really making those big important decisions, you really want to understand where that data came from, and you want it to come from an audience that matches your customer base. So there's a good reason to do studies.
Mm-hmm. And especially you can show the trend lines year over year too. So if you're doing them regularly, you become the expert because when you start mapping those trends year to year, media love that, those types of insights. And, you know, that tells an interesting story too on how things evolve over time. We have a client that's been doing a study on independent work focused on, you know, freelancers and how they work. They've been doing it. Karen, is it 15 years now? Mm-hmm. 15 yeah. years. There's not one other company out there that has research like they do. And their research is picked up globally. It's amazing how, you know, now that we're almost in the 15th year, that the media will go to the site and look for this research. And across all different types of verticals, the data is picked up. So they are seen as an expert and leader just based off the data they put out.
So we talked about data, which is often perceived as the safe category because there's numbers behind it. Clearly it's it's researched on some level, there's some safety around it. How does a company deal with sensitive topics and issues, which are all of the uncertainty that is today? So how do companies deal with that?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind for me is don't get political, get principled. So focus your communication on your values and what you stand for. You don't have to necessarily call people out, but definitely promote what you stand for. Promote what's important to you as a brand. And you don't have to get stuck in the politics of who said what. Or even with competitors, you know, there's going to be competitors that may see something and say something negative. But you know, be principled about how you approach your communications and be transparent and be authentic. And that will, the market will respond to that. And your customers and prospects will respond to that.
Your thoughts, Karen?
I could not have said it better. Be principled, not political. That is a perfect summation of it, actually. And, it, you know, as Carolyn said, it goes back to knowing your values and standing by that through and through. You don't have to weigh in on every sensitive topic. You don't have to tap dance around things or be on eggshells because of sensitivities. Be fully who you are. And I think respect goes a long way. You know, I remind people that we forget that if you're respectful, period, that means that you listen to your audience, and that means external and internal. You truly listen to them, not as a, you know, I got to listen, but I'm not really going to listen and act on it. If you listen to people, if you respect people, if you treat people with dignity, you're always going to be on the right side. And even if you make a misstep, when you are respectful, you're kind, and you're genuine, your audience will forgive you. It's possible to come back from that.
So what about brands who are stuck in this position, who fear retribution for speaking out what is their truth, core to who they are, and core to their audience? What about them?
Have a great proactive crisis communication plan. We recommend that for all clients. So you need to have crisis communication plans to safeguard you. Planning ahead is essential so that you know how to handle it. And there's a way to be bold, be courageous, and be yourself without destroying your company and burning it to the ground. I like to think of it as making the deposits in advance so that when you need a withdrawal, there's money in the bank. And that comes in with your brand reputation. You keep making those deposits by, you know, walking the walk and being who you are and treating your audience with respect. And when you need to make a withdrawal, if things go sideways, they will be there for you. I've seen it happen over and over again. But if you're somebody that's kind of been all over the map, or you haven't spoken out about things and now you're speaking out about things, you might be dealing with a deficit in your bank account and it will destroy your company.
Mm-hmm. And so, be human too. I think just don't be afraid to be human sometimes. I mean, I think in this environment, there's a lot of stress. People are very worried. They're concerned. And sometimes bringing out that kind of that humanness of people, people really like. We have a colleague that was just at RSA, which is, you know, the big security conference. And she was so excited because this was the first conference she had been to since COVID. And she was walking all the booths, saying hello to people. And she came across one and she said that they were just very rude to her. She wasn't a buyer. She was a vendor. So they told her not to take any swag. They asked her, you know, that not to, they didn't have time to speak with her because she wasn't a buyer per se. And she just felt that they kind of wrote her off a little bit. And she came back and she, instead of doing a video or writing a blog post about the show, she actually posted a video, not on what was happening at the show. She did a post about kindness and the experience and how it doesn't matter why you're at a show, that sometimes you just need to be kind. And that post got so much engagement just because it was on a simple topic and people could relate to it. So it was just a good example of just being human and experiencing something that we've all experienced.
Yes. So let's go back to a crisis communication plan. In the startup world, because everything is so fast, most companies don't think in terms of a crisis communication plan. So let's talk through, what is a crisis communication plan? How does a company put one together? Why do they even need one?
Yeah. It's a emergency guide, so that, you know, when emergencies happen, you know, if somebody's having a heart attack, you know to do CPR, you know to call 911. What are you going to do when you have a 911 in your company? Because you can't call the 911 operator, but you've got to have something quick that you don't have to think about because you have scenarios. And so we start out with, what are the things that are potential risk for you? So if you're a hospital, there could be the risk of death. There could be the risk, you know, if you're a school, there could be the risk of injury to a kid or something happening. If you live in, you know, an area with environmental disasters, that's a risk. So you write down, what are the things that really could potentially be a risk for our company? And now that you have those areas, now you start to think of scenarios of what could happen within those risk categories. How would we respond? And so you put those responses together. We like to do, you know, we go so far as to do like placeholder statements. Like if this were to get out to the media or the media were to call, here's a framework of what we would say. And then you practice those scenarios and you designate spokespeople and you have a tree and a plan. Like, okay, if our website went down and they needed to go somewhere, do we have somewhere where they can call? Or if we're not available and they need to go to the website, is there a place there where people can get information quickly? If the media had to come to us, is it, where would they meet? And you do all of the things as though this was happening right now so that when that emergency happens, you are able to react. And we've done this with clients and we have navigated them through crises without any fallout because we were ready and prepared.
Would you like to add anything, Carolyn?
I just think that it's something that every company needs to have, and especially for startups, because my experience with a lot of startup founders is they don't think they need it because, you know, they're new and they don't think crisis will happen in the early, you know, in the early years, but they need it as well. So I think it's something that every company should have. And, you know, as Karen mentioned, I mean, something could happen tomorrow. So if you're not prepared, that can create, it can take a post on social media and make it a front page story in the New York Times if the wrong situation happens. And so it's really, really important that startup founders even really think about having that crisis plan in place from the very, very beginning, because it will protect them. Because at some point, every company will have some type of crisis. And it may not be security. It could be somebody that we had a client that passed away, a very high level C-level executive that passed away. We've gone through a lot with our clients, but it will happen. And so you need to be prepared.
Exactly. It can be any number of things, from related to an individual person, to an influencer that you hire, to something like COVID. I think that's where small businesses or startups truly understood that you must be prepared for anything. And in that preparing, while you may not be able to prepare for every literal situation, the fact of preparing for a variety of situations makes you more prepared for whatever does happen.
100%.
Okay. You brought up, Carolyn, the topic of authenticity a moment ago. And I was listening to a podcast this morning, and there was a shift in how people are talking about authenticity. And, you know, for the last, I don't know, it feels like decade, maybe it wasn't that long, but it sure feels that way. It was be authentic. Oh, everybody needs to be authentic. And authenticity became this negative word because it was so abused. And the host on the show this morning mentioned how we really don't want authenticity. We really don't. We want people who are going to do their jobs, to say and follow through with whatever it is. So what is your take on this newer spin and outright rejection of authenticity?
That's an interesting question because, Karen, you want to take that while I give that some thought?
It's funny because I remember social media really blew up authenticity and transparency. And I believe that it became synonymous with kind of oversharing and opening up the full curtain. No one wants to see that. No one ever. You wouldn't. It's like blabbing to a perfect stranger, like everything that's going on in your life. It's too much information. So I think, you know,
as proposing to somebody before you've ever said hi to them for the first
time. Yes. So you're tailoring information, but you're being truthful. And I think so you're sharing what you can share, what's appropriate for that situation. And you're doing it in a way that's very human. So you're not sounding like, you know, a bunch of corporate jargon, and you're not lying to people. You're not being untruthful, but you can't share everything, especially as a company. There are some things that you really cannot be transparent about because there are laws and regulations that prevent that, you know, like HIPAA in the healthcare world. You can't say everything, and no one should expect you to do that. But in a given situation, when you are being asked for information, you should be able to provide accurate, factual information in a humane way. It doesn't mean that you, again, have to sound like, well, the alignment of the stakeholders, and, you know, it's just be human and be natural.
Yeah. And I guess for me, I mean, I think, you know, because I think about clients and media calls and on interviews with reporters, just talk about what your products and services do, you know, cut the jargon. Nobody wants to hear that. The acronyms, press releases are just riddled with this stuff, but just tell me what you do and tell me in a really just easy, simple way to make me really understand what you do. Because it's interesting, a lot of media, even people in the vertical publications, they're not necessarily experts in the fields. Sometimes they don't know. Sometimes the clients speak to them thinking that they know what they're talking about because of all the jargon and all the industry and lingo. And a lot of the times they don't, and they'll call us afterwards, the PR rep, and they'll say, I didn't understand one thing that they said. And so it's just really important just to talk normal. Don't think that you have to use these big business words for people to really get what you're doing, because sometimes the simpler it is, the more it will resonate with the people that you're speaking with.
Okay, I think we're about to wrap up, and I'll wrap up with the question of what is a final thought or tip you have for anyone listening today? But before we do that, I want to make sure everybody knows how to follow up and connect with you. So share one place you'd like them to reach out to you or connect with you, or if you have any resources, you're welcome to share that. Would you like to start, Karen?
Sure. LinkedIn is a great place to find me. And it's Karen Swim, just like swimming in a pool, no extra letters. that's a great place. And I would love to connect with anyone in your audience.
Carolyn, how about you?
Great. Well, I can be found at my website, which is dataplusPR.com. And my contact information is on the website, so you can find a little bit more information about me there, along with the research services that I provide.
Wonderful. Okay, so what is a final thought or tip that you have for our listeners? We'll go back to Karen to start.
Okay, my final tip would be to do it. Two
just
words.
Straight up do it. I love it.
Just do it. Don't overthink it. Don't be afraid of it. Just do it.
I love it. Carolyn, how about you?
My final tip would be to rethink who your media audience is, because it's not who it used to be a year ago. Traditional reporters, they're still around, but the new influencers are newsletters, people that have newsletters, Substack writers, marketing research firms have newsletters that get tons of reach across various audiences. So micro influencers. So there's a lot of people out there that are not being targeted that should be. So think about who your audience is and think beyond traditional reporters.
Yes, wonderful. So I am Melanie Asher, and you can find me on LinkedIn as well, or omicle.com. Thank you, ladies, so much for your time today. And until next time.